Hello and welcome to the Around the Nation podcast for the week of October 15th, 2007. I'm Pat Coleman.
And I'm Keith McMillan.
And we're here with our take on Week 7 of the Division III football season, coming to you from Midway Airport in Chicago, Illinois, where Keith and I have just finished spending a weekend which we saw parts of three games, all of one game, six Division III football stadiums, talked to five Division III football coaches, and pretty much the capper of the night was pretty much the game of the night as well on Saturday, with Wheaton coming back to beat Augustana 28-24. A game in which Wheaton had to rally from behind, as they did the week before against North Central.
Yeah, not just the rally from behind, which was so impressive, but great atmosphere over there. And then they had to pick up a defensive stop on the final drive for Augustana. Augustana pulling out passing plays that we really hadn't seen before, or that maybe that we just hadn't expected, and moved the ball down. Got four shots, well, really three shots since they spiked on first down, but four shots from the 7-yard line. Wheaton came up with stops on all of them, including a sack on fourth down.
We asked Augustana coach Jim Barnes about the first down decision to spike the ball.
I guess we kind of made up our mind that, you know, three cracks at it was, but yeah, you're right. I don't know if, offense coordinator was sure of the selection or not. So certainly in retrospect, one more, but again, not sure of the play sequence, but we had one kind of go off the fingertips here. Yeah, the guy was getting into the flat, would have got us closer. We had one that, like, again, went off the chest. It looks like we had miscommunication on a backside route, and ultimately they ran a stunt that we didn't pick up on fourth down there.
But we talked about the passing game of Augustana, which is something you rarely need to talk about. They threw 19 times. They actually threw only three fewer times than Wheaton did on Saturday night.
Yeah, which is a little bit surprising, of course, to us. But what Coach Barnes was telling us after the game is that, you know, it's something they like to keep in their back pocket when they feel like they can exploit it on a team. And they were able to hit a few passes, you know, swing passes out of the backfield and quick shots. Nothing that was, you know, too drastic. But I think, the way they run their offense, because they're so dedicated to the run, they really can set up some big plays in the passing game.
So Augustana falls to 3-3 overall, 1-2 in the CCIW, for all intents and purposes out of the CCIW race. Wheaton improves to 6-0 and 3-0 in the league, and one other team at 3-0 in the league is pretty much a surprise still.
Hey, Illinois Wesleyan, a winner yesterday against Milliken 24-7, and now they are 3-0, 4-2 overall, and everybody that we talked to yesterday thinking that might be the game November 10th if Illinois Wesleyan can get past Elmhurst, North Park, and win at North Central between now and November 3rd. They may go to Wheaton with the CCIW title on the line on November 10th.
That game in Bloomington. Other games of note on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening. A couple of head-to-head battles for first place in their respective conferences as Wabash defeated Wittenberg.
Well, that's the one we thought all year would probably settle the NCAC race. And certainly, as usual, tight game, 24-17, Wabash came out on top.
And in the Heartland Conferences, it came down last year. It came down again, Franklin against Mount St. Joseph, but a bit of a different result than 06.
Yeah, and I think that for Franklin, you know, they probably were real disappointed last year to finish 9-1, lose to Mount St. Joseph by a touchdown, and miss the playoffs. This year, they had their chance against Mount St. Joseph, and now they're in the driver's seat for the automatic qualifier with yesterday's 28-19 win.
Chad Rupp, 11 of 19 for 140 yards, but it was really the ground game of Franklin that came through with 243 yards. It's almost 6 yards a carry. This is not, of course, to discount Defiance's chances in the Heartland Conference race, but they do have to go to Franklin and Mount St. Joseph later this season. The game between two Ohio Athletic Conference ranked teams, number 7 Capital, number 11 Ohio Northern. Ohio Northern was up 3-0 at the half, up 6-3 in the third quarter, and it was really the defense once again of Capital helping them score the last 21 points, but it was kind of a turning point play as well. As Ohio Northern made a mistake in its own territory.
Well, yeah, the Polar Bears mishandled a snap on a punt attempt, and the Crusaders took over on the 10-yard line, scored two plays later, and that was the first of three second-half touchdown passes for quarterback Wade Bartholomew. So as much as we've talked about that Capital defense, they really got a nice effort out of the offense in the second half with those three touchdown passes.
And Bartholomew has looked solid so far in relief of Marty Asman at quarterback. Elsewhere on Saturday, Wisconsin's Stevens Point remains undefeated. Haven't really been tested so much. They've had a bunch of three-point wins in a row. In fact, seven consecutive three-point wins in the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Pretty impressive, but they've got something coming up. It's probably a little bit more of a challenge.
Well, yeah, they have Whitewater next week, and that probably now looking like the game in that conference that's going to settle that one. But, you know, we talk a couple years ago about how crazy the WIAC was, and it's back this year. You know, you didn't have just that three-point game yesterday. You had River Falls upsetting Eau Claire 27-20, and you also had Platteville beating Wisconsin Lacrosse, who now lost three straight and 2-3 overall, and that game 37-34 Saturday.
Whitewater took care of Oshkosh 26-14, so they remain atop that league. Moving a little bit to the west, as Central survives yet another nail-biter in the Iowa Conference. I don't know how much longer they can continue to do this, but they seem to pull it out week after week after week after week after, you know.
It really has become their calling card to just, I don't want to say do enough to win, because it sounds like that, you know, they play down to their level of their competition, and I'm not sure it's that. I think they find ways, whether it's defense, whether it's special teams, whether to score in the fourth quarter to pull out to get a touchdown. Again, yesterday they're down 14-0 to Co after a quarter, 14-10 at the half, and they were able to block a field goal with 6:10 left, scoop that ball up and run it back, and sort of gave them a little boost, and then they just built on that, I think, for the rest of the way, and now we're able to pull out the 24-17 win. And again, same thing we're talking about every week. Central hanging on by a touchdown, staying in the top 10 and staying on top of that Iowa conference race.
Yep, after the blocked field goal return, three plays later, Tim Connell hits Cody Heisman for a 33-yard touchdown, a game-winning score with 5:12 left. Central improves to 7-0, 5-0 in the Iowa Conference as the Dutch keep rolling along. And a bit of a shootout a little bit north of there in Northfield, Minnesota, is St. Olaf, after taking St. John's to the wire up in Collegeville the week before, barely survives against Concordia Moorhead.
Yethose Olaf fans, you know, obviously their hearts got a test the past couple weeks, losing by 1 point. And then yesterday, Concordia Moorhead has a chance on a two-point conversion to beat them again by 1 point. And instead, with 35 seconds left, St. Olaf stopped the two-point conversion, and they hung on to win 52-51.
A couple of the surprise teams kept on surprising. Case Western Reserve defeated Carnegie Mellon 20-17 in overtime. Case Western 6-0, best start since 1984. Do you think they have to run the table to get into the NCAA playoffs?
You know, it's hard to say, but when you look at the strength of schedule for some of the UAA teams, it tends to be that way. We said that last year about Carnegie Mellon. They went ahead and ran the table and got themselves into the playoffs with a pretty decent seed, actually a home game last year. So, I mean, it's certainly possible at 9-1, but I would say, just to be safe for Case Western, they probably do need to go 10-0.
Randolph-Macon, your alma mater, continues its surprise season as well. Now 6-1, 3-0 in the ODAC with a win against Emory and Henry.
Well, that's huge, because the ODAC this year, I think, is one of those conferences where every game, and it's very cliche to say, but every game is a big game. And Randolph-Macon now has knocked off Catholic, Washington, and Lee, which is the defending champ, and Emory and Henry, another team that's going to be in the mix. But they have Guilford, Bridgewater, and Hampton-Sydney left. And also, when you look at Randolph-Macon's schedule, you see them at 6-1, but that loss going back to the middle of September to Frostburg, 20-13, keeps them from being 7-0 right now and being really even a bigger surprise than they are. But it's also sort of a loss that kind of stands out to you, because Frostburg hasn't had that great of a season either.
Hampton Sydney, the arch rival, of course, awaits at the end of that schedule in week 11. But the next 2 weeks, Guilford and Bridgewater, the Randolph-Macon defense better be prepared. I mean, those teams combined for 104 points yesterday, and Guilford's been known to drop in the high 50s so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, Guilford's just got that tremendous offense behind quarterback Josh Vogelbach. And really, we were surprised to see that score between Bridgewater and Guilford yesterday, because Guilford held to 28 points while Bridgewater scoring on 11 of its first 14 possessions to hang 76 on the Quakers.
The top two teams continue to roll. Mount Union had no trouble with Wilmington. Mary Harden Baylor defeated Louisiana College 70-14. A packed house at Elmhurst for homecoming at Langhorst Field filled beyond capacity. Standing room only, people all around the edges. Not just that, not just a better atmosphere. You noticed some of the little things, maybe, or bigger things, just in terms of the way the teams participated on the sidelines, the way the benches got into the game, things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we were walking up to the game, just the start of the third quarter, and you could hear the pass, ball, every time the ball was in the air, you know, everybody on the sideline paid attention. We saw, you know, the plays were just run more crisply, the spiral very tight when the quarterbacks were throwing the ball. And we saw the size of the players, I think, stood out to us. You know, when you see a cornerback that's 6'3", 200 pounds, you know, that's something that you don't see in Division III conferences necessarily across the country. And so that's one of the reasons why the CCIW tends to rank up among the top conferences, is because they clearly get some of the better kids out of the Chicago area, and they're also doing good things with them when they get them.
In fact, you and I have been at games this season where we've seen starting quarterbacks standing 5'3".
Yeah, I mean, Huntington was the one that stood out to us, and Coach Mike Turk said to us, you know, one of the things they have to do is get bigger and get stronger, and you don't do that necessarily by, you know, you can put the kids that you have in the weight room, but at a certain point, you just have to recruit bigger kids, stronger kids, and be successful at it. I mean, everybody's trying to get bigger and stronger, but there's a lot of competition when you talk about some of the other divisions that we go up against, whether it's NAIA or Division II, depending on where different teams are.
Just to run down the other stadiums we saw on Saturday, we saw University of Chicago's Stagg Field, recently renovated, nice new turf. We saw North Park's Holmgren Athletic Complex, kind of tucked into a little block in northern Chicago. It's really kind of maximized the use of space, putting a football field and a baseball diamond and a softball diamond all in a little kind of wedged into a half a block.
Yeah, that's sometimes what you have to do in Division III, especially when we're talking about city schools who don't have that room to expand, that can't buy the property across the street and just build a new field. They got to make do with the space they have.
And Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois, we saw them as well. We had a chance to talk with Concordia, Wisconsin head coach Jeff Gabrielson, so we thank him for his time on Saturday afternoon. Coming up next week, we look at Week 8. We are getting down to it here. A couple of big games, of course. One we already talked about, Wisconsin. Whitewater travels to Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Elsewhere, you know, that NJAC might get a little bit more clarified. Montclair State goes to Cortland in a key game.
Yeah, I mean, we need that clarity when it comes to the NJAC. I think you have four teams still in the hunt there, three of them at the top with about the same record if you count College of New Jersey, and then Rowan, you know, a game behind everybody but still hanging around. We're going to need to see that clarity. Montclair, Cortland, probably the winner there takes the lead at least for a couple weeks in that conference.
St. John Fisher goes to Springfield, a game that still has importance in the Empire 8 race, although Springfield has lost a couple of out-of-conference games. Baldwin Wallace at Mount Union, Wesley at Brockport State. Code travels to Wartburg, and Lakeland is at Concordia, Wisconsin. That's a game it looks like now it'll basically decide the Illini Badger Conference.
Yeah, I mean, Concordia, Wisconsin really clicking on all cylinders. Won 45-0 yesterday, and the only team left, I think, that has a shot at him is Lakeland.
How about Mary Harden Baylor at Mississippi College? Do we think the Choctaws have a shot at slowing down Mary Harden Baylor's offense?
Well, it's hard to say because the Choctaws have been in every game. They beat Millsaps, and they gave Harden-Simmons, you know, all they could handle. But Mary Harden-Baylor right now seems to be on just completely another level from the teams that it's been playing. So, I mean, it's going to be certainly a tough one. They're going to have to get the best effort, I think. It's going to certainly be a tough one. Mississippi College is going to have to give their best effort.
Bridgewater travels to Emory and Henry, and Capital is at crosstown rival Otterbein. That's our Around the Nation podcast for the week of October 15th, 2007. Thanks for joining us. From Midway Airport, I'm Pat Coleman. Tune back in throughout the week, including Thursday, for Keith McMillan's Around the Nation column.